Our scripture today is a standard stewardship scripture, meant, I think, to make us think that if we love God, then we need to get rid of all of our money and all of our stuff, because you can't serve God and have things. While that's the standard way this scripture is used during stewardship, it's not necessarily the way I feel like we need to interpret it today. I honestly have a problem with it right off the bat, because we don't like the thought of being a slave. Our context of the very idea of slavery is not that of loving a master. I've watched all the movies and read all the books on slavery, not all of them, but it's not something that any of us would choose. So to try and serve two masters, much less try to love them both, seems outrageous. Our picture is that of hating a master, wanting to do everything in our power to get out of the position of slavery. I think about the ever-rising problem of human trafficking in our country, and the thought of being a slave is horrible. Now, I recognize that Jesus is talking from what is going on at that time, and slavery was all around. But I feel like more than referring to an unjust act, Jesus was probably referring to the Roman Empire, which would also include the Jewish temple. Now, understand, I'm not saying that the Jewish temple was against God, but I am wondering if it had gotten to the point where serving God and serving the Roman Empire were tied to one another. Do we get to the point sometimes where we feel like we're serving our community or our nation more than we're serving our God? Perhaps if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we feel like we have become slaves to our world, to our nation, to our government. I couldn't help but wonder this week, as we were seeing people all over our area who were losing their homes, some who had just barely rebuilt, once again losing them. People losing their businesses, many of whom just got them back up and running, once again finding themselves literally up to their knees in water and mud and not knowing what to do. What must that feel like? But most importantly, what does this scripture say to them? Are we to take such monumental loss and say, well, it's just money? Is it that easy, really, to say, I'm not going to worry about this? Is it really that easy to say, God will take care of me? I'll have food and water and housing. Is it easy to say that when we see people every day that don't have food, that don't have water, that don't have shelter? It's easy for me to stand here, never having been truly hungry or thirsty or without shelter, and to say that God will provide. I can't begin to understand what it feels like to not know where my next meal will come from. But Jesus wasn't speaking to people like me. Jesus was speaking to exactly those kind of people, those who knew hunger and thirst and wondered if they would be provided for, those people who knew oppression, those whose lives were uncertain. I can fear losing my job or my home or money, but in reality, I live every day pretty secure in the fact that I will have breakfast, lunch, and dinner, that I will have a bed to lie in tonight and warm water to shower in tomorrow. So what does this scripture say to me today? I think it has to do with God's abundance. Not an abundance of stuff, not an abundance of money, not an abundance of worldly things. A different type of abundance, abundance that we can't touch. Our world wants us to live worried about scarcity. There's not enough food for everyone. There's not enough water or land or jobs or love or kindness or money. We worry all the time. What if we don't have enough air or water or food? It's understandable. And I understand that we need to be good stewards, and there is a real need for us to take care of this world and make sure that it's here for my grandchildren and their grandchildren. But what I'm getting at is that God is telling us not to let the fears of the world outweigh the abundance of God's world, God's kingdom, both here and in the next. It's our job as followers of Christ to live into that abundance and to share that abundance with others we meet. Not to let the things this world tells us we should worry about guide us, but letting God work and the work that God calls us to do guide us. I know that sounds a lot easier than it is. I admit to being a worrier. I spent many a sleepless night worrying about things. Am I doing things right? Am I taking care of things? Why aren't I getting more things done? What's going to happen to me when I'm older? Who will take care of me? Will I be able to live on retirement? All the normal things we worry about. But I get up in the morning and I get myself up and I get going and I try once again to live the best life that I can. We can't let the worry of the world prevent us from doing. We can't let the worry of the world prevent us from living. When we do, when we live, when we're especially doing and living as God is calling us to, then we're embracing the abundance that God intends for us to have. The joy, yes, in the midst of sadness. The light, yes, in the midst of darkness. Life abundant and free. Kevin and I were talking this morning as we met for worship and prayer. And we talked about Friday and how easy it was to get so caught up in watching the weather map. So it wasn't just us. And worrying about those red and orange and yellow colors moving across the city. We got on a conference call with the helpers to say, what are we going to do about the family festival? Do we change it? And we worried about what would happen if we did, what would happen if we didn't. Once we finally decided that we were going to change it to today, we worried, will everyone know about it? Will they find out about it? Will it be okay? We worried. But I found myself at home Friday evening about 5:30 with it pouring down rain and just having a peace that said, yes, you did the right thing. Now, I might not have felt that way if the sun had been shining. I might not have. But the worry at that point seemed a little silly. Everyone was safe. Everyone was hopefully home and dry. Now, that might not be a great example, but we worry. And while worrying, it's natural and it's okay. But it's also wonderful to be able to stop and focus ourselves on what's really important. In the midst of all the things we have to worry about, we have a comforter who's with us. We're not in this alone. We have this group of people who join with us to help us through hard times. And we have a God of abundance, a God that has more love, more grace, more joy, more hope, more time, more life than we could possibly need. May we lean into that God of abundance. Thanks be to God. Amen and amen.